Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Alrighty, this is going to be a weird perspective up here for me, so why don't you guys go ahead and sit down. So, can you turn me down just a little bit, please? Alrighty, we are going to be in Genesis chapter 18 and also spending some time in the book of Matthew, if you guys want to pull your reading devices open to that. So, I appreciate what Andrea said about the turning back the darkness thing. We've had even within our body at different points over the years, people that have said, let's not even acknowledge that the day exists. And as we were as Andrea was talking up here just a little bit ago, it made me think of all the different times where Israel would see something going on. And in particular, I was thinking of the golden calf this morning, is that there was idolatry going on at that moment in time. And it was a pretty evil thing, even though it was under the guise of worshiping Yahweh. But Moses did not just sit back and say, well, I'm not even going to acknowledge that that's going on, because that would be giving credence to it. He basically said, we're going to take care of this right here, right now, and we're going to do it somewhat drastically. And I've just kind of, you know, the times that we're living in are dark and getting darker, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. You know, that particular day is not going anywhere. It's going to be here. You know, I wish that it weren't. I will just pray that its influence will be less and less. But, I mean, let's be honest. You know, Yahweh's plan is not, you know, for everything just to get all better and hunky-dory. His kingdom, it will. Our lives, it will. We will be enriched. We will be in a greater relationship with Him. But the world, sorry to burst your bubble or, you know, rain on your parade, it's not going to get any better. And so when we see these pagan type things coming into play, you know, don't do it for, you know, don't fight against the darkness for yourself or for the idea of getting rid of a particular day or tradition. Turn back the darkness for the people in your life that might have some sort of inkling towards this, that might be caught up in what seems all nice and innocent, but really has a root in things that are evil and things that are dark. And this is how we are going to stand up against that. So I just really want to encourage you with that. I feel like I am in the midst of a shift in my life. I can, you know, give certain examples and certain seasons of my life where I feel like Yahweh's just really impressed on me that I want you to do this. I want you to focus on this. This is something that you've never focused on in the past before, Matt. And I'm not saying this is a huge thing, but I really believe that God is calling us into a point where, as I mentioned, things are going to get harder. They're going to get darker in a lot of ways. How many of you have heard the phrase? Many of you probably haven't, that we're living in unprecedented times. I know it's a novel phrase and a novel term that no one has ever heard before. I'm going to coin that. We're living in unprecedented times. I really believe that we are. I've started praying about and I've started seeing things in our society, in our culture, and in this world where Yahweh is saying, I want you to pay attention to this and I want you to be ready to do something about it. As someone who has 6 children and has a wife, a lot of my life and a lot of my efforts and my thinking about the future is really geared towards taking care of those 6 people. And rightfully so. That is a unique mantle that God has given me over those people. That spiritual covering over my wife and my 6 kids, no one else has. You guys play a role in it for sure. There are times where you all lift up my arms and you help me fight for my children, to fight for my family. But that is a mantle that is on me solely. And then other parents and other families in here, you have the same thing. You have a covering over your family, over your children, over your spouses, over grandkids, nieces, nephews, whatever it might be. And so in my mind, a lot of, you know, my effort and my thinking about the future is, okay, how do I take care of those 6 people and my wife? How do I do that? And rightfully so. I should, you know, that should be my first priority. And I've mentioned over the years, and it has caused me to take some sabbaticals away from this ministry, and most of you know this, is that I have always felt that if I'm at a point where I'm not able to give my all to my children or to my wife, then I have no business being up here. And there have been times where Yahweh has said, Matt, you need to step down, you need to step away. Sometimes it's been proactive, which I really think is an important distinction to make in your life, that there are times where God calls us to be proactive in doing something, to take time off from something, but he also allows it, well, I shouldn't say he allows it. There are also times where we get overwhelmed and we react to hardships. There's a difference between being proactive and reactive. And when you have a reactive personality, or you make reactive choices or responses or emotions, you're not operating in God's kingdom. You're more operating within your own fear, your own shortcomings, or what you see in the world. And I don't think that's how Yahweh wants us to act. I don't think that's how he wants us to serve him and serve his body. And so there have been times where I have been reactive in this ministry. I'm like, oh, it's getting too hard. I need to go away and step down. That hasn't been right. But there have also been times where Yahweh said, Matt, you're in a different season right now. I'm teaching you some different things. I want you to take a break. Because first and foremost, my family comes first. No one else in here should be put in greater importance than those seven people. And if at any point I'm putting more of a focus on something else, I need to step back and take care of them. And to varying degrees of success and effort, I feel like I've done that. But I feel like Yahweh's putting me in a transition where he's saying, okay, we've got that going on, but I want you to focus on serving people in other ways, ways that you might not have had before. And it's a little bit uncomfortable for me at times, but I really feel like Yahweh is just impressing things on me. He is, you know, giving me a couple of dreams about a certain thing, and I'm not going to get into that yet. The time will come for that. That's like a teaser trailer right there for you, preview of coming attractions. So that's going to be coming down the road. But I appreciated what Daniel was saying about, taking care of losing your own life on behalf of other people. Because I believe if we can't look around to this body or whatever body that God has called you to be a part of regularly, and you should have one, whether it's here, whether it's someone else, whether our live stream folks, hi, how you doing? Whatever that might be, you need to have people around you. That order that Daniel spoke of, I think, is really important, not for a hierarchy of church leadership, but being in community, of being around people that can influence your life and speak into your life no matter how hard it might be. You know, a word that gets thrown around a lot within Christian circles, and rightfully so, is discipleship and mentorship. And that's really important. But what I have learned over the years, and my wife as well, in just different ministries, is that discipleship, mentorship, being in tight community with people doesn't occur on a weekly basis at 6 o'clock every Wednesday. Sometimes it does, and it's important to have that order. But mentorship and discipleship sometimes happens at 3 a.m. on a Friday night, Friday morning. Sometimes it happens in a really hard place, a really hard part of town, really hard relational things. That's when speaking into people's lives really comes into play. As you can meet with someone regularly Wednesdays at 5:30. You know, back in college, I had standing weekly Bible study times and mentorship times with the folks that I was discipling, and that was good. But a lot of times the most important discipleship that was going on is whenever. Whenever is needed. And when you start giving up your own life, when you start working within an order of being in community with people, that's what's going to keep us strong. Not just, okay, I've got this going on. I know in 7 days I'm going to be doing this thing. It's as there is a need, you're willing to meet that. You don't meet that need for everyone. As I mentioned earlier, there are boundaries. And you don't just say, well, my life is an open book. It's an open calendar for whoever it is. I'm not saying that at all. But there are people that God has put in your life, whether it be in this body, whether it be extended family, whether it be through your work, whatever it might be, that God has said, I want you to play a role in that person's life, and I want you to be willing to be involved, to be available as whatever those needs have come up. And so I think for me personally, Yahweh is calling me into some different things within this body. Not this huge thing, but just different focuses. Amen, brother. Speaking in tongues at Bet Leckem, there we go. Who says we don't have Pentecostal roots? There you go. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Yahweh does in calling me to serve in different ways, to focus on different things. And with that, I want to get into Genesis chapter 18. I had a message planned, and then Andrea shot it down. She said it wasn't good enough. It was the wrong topic. It's not going to bring life. I was like, fine. You know, I was just shy of writing the PowerPoint and whatnot. And she, no, it ended up being a good thing. So I want to get into the beginning of chapter 18. And if you have devices in front of you, great. If you don't, I've got it up here for you. So we're going to be in Genesis 18, verses 1 through 8. Now the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he raised his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed down to the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by." Now pay attention to this part. Pay attention to all of it, but in particular this part. "Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and make yourselves comfortable under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread so that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." Before I get into the last few verses, if you remember, I think it was chapter 15, is when Yahweh started bringing this covenant, this promise before Yahweh of having children. And there was this little interaction between Abraham and God where he was saying, "I don't have kids. How are you going to make me the father of the multitudes if I don't have kids?" And so there was this interaction. This was three chapters prior. We don't know how long three chapters was in Bible times, but hey, that's what it was. And so Yahweh had just given this promise of like, there will be something, someone that comes from your seed, from your lineage, that will, you know, be part of the multitudes and the nations. And so here we are three chapters later, where Yahweh is coming before Abraham, and he's saying, he's just visiting. He's just passing through, because there are not a lot of places out in the wilderness where a lot of people are just hanging out. Like, it's not this big popular trade route. It's that, you know, Abraham was hanging out with his wife and hanging out with a servant and hanging out with a bunch of cattle or sheep or whatever that herd happened to be. And so Yahweh and these two other men, they come by, and Abraham says, you know, "Let me give you a little bit of water. Let's wash your feet. Make yourselves comfortable. After that, you may go on." To me, this is the bare minimum. This is the initial serving that a lot of us would be in agreement to. If someone says, "Hey, could you pray for me?" That's a pretty easy one, isn't it? That's kind of the easy spiritual thing where someone says, "Could you pray for me? I'm going through this hard time." Boom, you could whip out that prayer in 15, 20 seconds, or if you're one of the people that Daniel was talking about, hours and hours and hours. But that's a pretty easy one. If someone's back here, and you know, if I were to say, "Can we move those tables and chairs real quick?" Half of this room is going to get up, and they're going to bust that stuff out. That's an easy one. In my mind, that is watering and washing feet and allowing someone to rest. It's a good thing, but to me, that's just the initial step. And you move on into verse 6. So this is what Abraham said: bread, water, washing feet, get comfortable, move on. Actually, he hadn't even gotten into the bread yet. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes." Now, I found this humorous because I can just imagine me hanging out with my friends and doing different things and then running home and saying, "Oh, honey, people are coming. Start baking stuff now. I know you've got a lot of other stuff going on in your life, but I want you to start baking all of this bread for three other people. Go ahead. Go for it." Sometimes my wife would not be so incredibly excited about that. There are times that I came home, I had kind of an impromptu meeting this week, and I came home to the kids because Andrea wasn't there, and I said, "Hey, clean the house." Now, I have six children. We have lots of rooms in our house. We go through a lot of dishes on a daily basis, and a lot of times they do not get washed immediately. And so when I come home, I said, "Oh, kids, by the way, clean the house." That's not a small request. You know, if Nate is out and about and he says, "You know what, I'm going to clean the house, I'm going to pick up a little bit," never been to your house, but knowing you, I have a feeling that would not take very long at all, because he's a better person than I am and more spiritual and just has his life on top of things. But when you have six little people and a wife and various animals, all of a sudden, that is a big deal. So if I came home and said, honey, I want you to not just pull out a loaf of bread from the fridge, but I want you to prepare 3 measures of fine flour, not just regular flour, knead it and make bread cakes, she's going to wonder, what are you doing? Then Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. Now, this is not just nuking a bunch of chicken tenders in the microwave, okay? This is not making a ham sandwich or a lamb sandwich, whatever it is. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Now, you don't always have a little mini fridge when you're traveling around in Bible times. And so all of a sudden you have to find ways to take care of this curds and these curds and this milk in order to prepare it for other people. How many of you have ever slaughtered an animal of some sort? Like a legit animal, not just like carving the Thanksgiving turkey. Like, this is not an easy process, right? It takes a while. I mean, we did, back when we lived at the farmhouse, we slaughtered, 20 chickens? Oh, it was an all-day event. I mean, we had like 8 of us out there. It was just fantastic. It took a long time. Now, imagine this being a lamb or a calf or whatever it is. This is going to take some time. And at this point, Abraham has lied to Yahweh. Did you ever think about that? Because he said, I'm going to give you water, you can wash your feet, you can rest, and then move on. Abraham's finally thinking, or Yahweh's thinking, okay, I'm just going to get this, and I'm going to move along. I've got a town to kill and destroy. And then Abraham says, hold on, I'm going to prepare a meal for you all day. I'm going to take all day to do this for you. I hope you like lamb. I hope you like bread. Because, like, if you're a vegetarian, things are going to be hard. But he makes all this stuff. And it was a blessing to me in a couple different ways, because Abraham was willing to not just go with the status quo. It would have been very easy to give water and bread, which they probably had sitting around, the water to wash feet and, you know, give them something to drink. That was okay. That was easy to do. You know, they probably had a couple of comfy places that they could have been, where they could have just had Yahweh and these two other men, angels, whatever it is that you want to call them, to hang out and rest. But Yahweh, I think, in response to what he had heard from Yahweh and the promise and the covenant that Yahweh had made with him 3 chapters prior, is that he said, if my God is going to do this, I want to bless my God as much as I can. And I'm going to take, you know, something that is of great worth to me in order to bless Yahweh. I remember a couple years ago, I was thinking about, as I was going through a particular study, I think it was when we were choosing to go through the Gospels as a body on our Thursday night studies, is thinking about the prodigal son. And when the prodigal son came back, as Yeshua was talking about it, the father seemed to have a choice animal. And I remember thinking this was like a celebration animal. Like that animal, that sacrifice was specifically reserved for times of great joy. When you look at the offerings that Israel gave, there's all the offerings, but then there's something called the priest's portion. They didn't just give it all over, you know, as part of their Leviticus 1-6 offerings. There was a priest's portion that was specifically set aside for the priests. And as I was thinking about that, at the time Yahweh said, we're just going to touch on that in your life, Matt, and then at some point in time, we'll hit on that again. Well, it was this week. And it made me realize, I can serve people, that's fine. I can help people move. That's one of my spiritual giftings, I think, is helping people move. For many, many years, I was one of the younger people in this body. I was one of the strongest people in the body, and that was kind of it. And so when someone needed help moving, who did they call? Me, because I was the most capable one of doing that. And it's fine. It's something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy moving other people. I don't enjoy moving myself, because most people who I move consists of 2, 3, maybe 4 people. When my family moves, it's 8 people, or 7 people, or 6 people. So you get used to moving. But I can do that. But it takes a different level of service to other people when Yahweh is laying something on your heart. And I started thinking about this, you know, this calf that Abraham provided for Yahweh. I was thinking about the calf for the prodigal son. And it made me realize, do I have something set aside for those times where Yahweh really wants me to bless someone else? That it is specifically for that. It's not just for anything. It is specifically for that. And I don't know entirely what that means for me. I don't know entirely what it means for you. But I believe we're in a time where we need to have a mindset of blessing other people, of knowing that that time is going to come, that a friend or a family member or a complete stranger is going to have a unique need, and Yahweh has laid on your heart at some point in time and given you a gift or a skill or a time or a heart or whatever it is to bless that specific person and that specific time. And I think most of us have experienced something where we have said, okay, God, that's interesting that you would bless me with that, that you would give me that word, you know, from the Lord, whatever it is, or this extra money or this extra piece of furniture, whatever it might be, but you're just holding on to it until someone comes into your life or a situation comes into your life, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's why. That's why I was supposed to have that. Didn't know why until this particular situation came up, but that's why I was supposed to have that. I think that's a mindset that we need to start developing in ourselves, in our spirits, and also within this body, is that we need to be prepared to serve whoever it is that Yahweh came, you know, brought into our life. I will touch on something that Yahweh has shared with me over the last several weeks, and I won't get into a huge detail. I'm not one that has dreams that I feel like are significant. I know others, you know, here and in my family have that, and it's like any dream is, you know, up for grabs on what the spiritual implication is, and that's a good thing. I usually don't have that. My reoccurring dream is that I have 2 reoccurring dreams. This is just an aside that has no bearing on the message whatsoever. I love basketball. I used to play basketball all the time. One of my most frustrating reoccurring dreams is I'm going to shoot the ball, and you're supposed to have a nice flick of the wrist, you know? Mine is that my wrist keeps going back, so that the ball never goes where it's supposed to go. It just falls backwards. That is so frustrating. The other one is that I'm running a race and one leg is a foot shorter than the other one. That is hard. As an aside, this is just a random question. I'm sorry. This is just totally, because I haven't had a chance to ask people this. Can anyone actually read in their dreams? Like someone puts something in front of you that you're not familiar with and you can actually read what it says? I've struggled with that. I've had people put in my dreams, put books or plays or things in front of me that I can't read. Just an aside, if you can, good for you. If not, you're not alone. Completely side notes. But in my dream, this was in the last 3 weeks, there was some sort of emergency. There was some sort of tragedy going on somewhere in our society. And I remember being here and a bunch of people showed up. And they needed somewhere to hang out. And then I remember, because I planned the Sukkot thing, Andrea and I do, I remember guiding people like, okay, go down there, you know, hang out over there. And I remember thinking in my mind, who else needs to be here? And I started going through my mind of who am I supposed to care for? What people don't have this on their heart but need to have it on their heart to be part of fellowship? What things do I need to do to be willing and able to serve other people in hard times? And I feel like that's something that Yahweh is really impressing upon me of, Matt, just don't be willing to give the status quo in serving a superficial or a physical need, but are you willing to meet needs that are below the surface? That might not just be helping someone move or making a meal for someone or cleaning someone's house, which is drastically important at certain times, things that should not be overlooked. But Yahweh has been telling me, Matt, are you willing to do more? And I saw that in this week's Torah portion. I saw Abraham have a response to what Yahweh, to the covenant Yahweh had made with him three chapters ago, and said, I'm not just going to give you water. I'm not just going to let you wash your feet. I'm not just going to give you a comfy place to lay your head and take a little siesta and then be on your way. I'm going to spend all day making this meal, and I'm going to ask my wife to do it as well. Because that is a huge bit of faith. That is a huge bit of trust. I'll go ahead and slaughter the animal, but, oh honey, I want you to make all this bread. That's a whole different thing. I appreciate so much Abraham going that extra mile. And I think it's in response to what Yahweh had done for him. And as I was praying about it, as I was doing my study over the last week or so, and some of it tied into what I was initially preparing, Yahweh took me to Matthew 5, verses 40 through 42. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Now, initially, I was thinking, okay, this is, you know, an act of generosity, an act of service that someone is willing to do. That's Yeshua's instruction of, yeah, go find someone, or if you happen to have a friend or a family member in your life who's, you know, wants your cloak, well, give them the tunic as well. And if they want to hang out with you for a mile, go with them too. And as I was talking to Andrea, she said, well, you know what the context of this is? And I said, no, sweetheart, please tell me. Which, husbands, that's a great response, by the way. No, honey, please tell me. And she said, it was a Roman law that the officials and the military could go up to any Israelite and say, carry this for me for a mile. Only a mile. It could only be a mile. And basically, Israel or whoever had to abide by this because it was a law. And so what? If that's really true, and I didn't investigate it, I took my wife's word for it, and so if I'm wrong, you can talk to her later, is there is this idea where Yeshua is saying the people, the very people that are persecuting you, and ultimately the people in the nation that are going to crucify me, if they tell you to go a mile because that is law, go with them too. That is a whole different kind of service and willingness to sacrifice of yourself. Because the law said you're only obligated to go 1 mile. You can't go farther than that. And Yeshua is saying, go too. Go too. How amazing and humbling and convicting or just mind-boggling would that be to a Roman official where they say, you know, no, I'm going to hang out with you for another mile. I'm going to go with you for another mile. That is above and beyond just the general service in this situation, obedience that Yeshua is calling them to do. He's not just saying, yeah, you know, submit to the governing authorities, blah, blah, blah. Now, there are times to do that, and we're in times where we really need to be in prayer about what that looks like, because it's not just an easy black and white line anymore. But he's saying, I want you to be willing to go the extra mile for someone. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. This is hard, especially when we are in a day and age where there are so many who are needy in so many different ways. And I don't think this is just a widespread general statement that anyone who asks of you, you give. I don't think that's what this is saying. Again, I have 7 people under my care, under my responsibility. And so I can't just serve anyone and everyone for exactly what they want. At some point, I have to say no. But Yeshua is saying, are you willing to get beyond yourself and what you think is important, and instead be willing to serve other people in a way that might be uncomfortable for you? Now, we can look at this as just a physical, I want to take care of this person, if for any other reason that Yahweh has told me to do that. I want to walk in obedience. As I was going through the studies, then Yahweh took me over to Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 2. Let love of the brothers and sisters continue. Do not neglect hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. This is a whole different ballgame. in our service to God, in our service to one another. Using the example, and I can say this pretty confidently, is it's one thing for me to help someone to move because a certain person has a specific need and they need to move from one place to another. I can totally do that. But then when you start to take into consideration that I'm not just helping this person, I'm really serving God in this. I'm entertaining His presence and I am serving Him. Not the person, but I am serving Him. The person who I'm helping move, praise God, you're getting moved. Outstanding. Glad I could help. But when Yahweh says, I want you to help this person move, it very well could be because He wants me to bless Him and to serve Him. Maybe not all the time, but there have been many, many moves that I have done where it has just been a quick, superficial, get in, get out, be done, you know, help get the house ready. There have been other times where I know that there has been a ministry of sorts going on to someone and ultimately a ministry to God and a lot of times a ministry to myself. And I think that is where we get above and beyond just the casual, the casual service of someone taking care of a need, praying for someone for 5 minutes before service or during our prayer time when we're doing tithes and offerings. Those things need to be done. Those are real needs, and I hope you understand I'm not making light of those things. Those need to be, you know, met if you're able to. But I think we're entering into a time where we need to have something much greater in mind when someone asks something of us. There are needs that are going on that we have no clue. I will. Several years ago, there was a man that I was developing a good friendship with. And he was around, he was in my life for a long time, and you know everything was great, and then the person disappeared for a while. I didn't know why, and you know I prayed that this person would come back, that we would be in fellowship again, couldn't find the person. And then one day, Yahweh said, Matt, I want you to call the person. I said, okay, sure. And I called the person, and I left a voicemail, and then a couple hours later, the person called me back and they said, you have no idea what you just did. This person struggled with a particular struggle. And they said, at that point in time, right before you called, I was on the verge of doing something very bad to myself. And he said, and then I listened to your voicemail and all of a sudden truth came in. Now, I'm not saying this for me. I hope you understand that. But it's an act of service where you have no idea what is going on in someone else's life. And you just leave a simple voicemail that says, hey, brother, just want to see how you're doing. Miss you. You know, give me a call back. And all of a sudden, this person was on the verge of doing something tragic. To me, at that point, I was entertaining an angel. I was not just giving a guy a call saying, hey, how you doing? It was this person needed something from God. I, at that point, just happened to be the vessel of whatever was going on. Now, I could have just ignored the person and said, you know what? They haven't been here for weeks or months. Not my responsibility. I got, you know, a congregation here that I'm trying to lead in whatever way God sees fit. But he said, Matt, I want you to call this person. I called this person, and it was just amazing. And this person came back into fellowship in right thinking and right relationship, and it was just really outstanding. And so it is that going the extra step because you realize we're dealing with things that are much greater than a physical need. A lot of times the battle for people's souls and the battle for people's relationships with God, their people's relationships with other people, are fought in just the mundane, the physical things that are going on. And sometimes it involves getting into the dirty parts of people's lives. And I think we are at a point in God's kingdom and definitely within this body. Definitely within this body. Because we have gone through a lot of changes over the last several years. And I really believe that Yahweh is changing our thinking. He's changing our ministry. He's changing our actions. And He's saying, okay, it's time to do something different. It's time to do something bigger. It's not necessarily bigger. It's time to do something in different ways than you ever have before. Are you willing to be a part of it? If you count yourself as part of this body,
Like, this is a regular, you know, fellowship for you. I think this applies to you. I think that Yahweh is calling this body, not that we are special, not because we've got it figured out and other people don't, because so many other churches and ministries, they have unique callings from God, and those people should, you know, walk in obedience to that. If this is not your place of regular fellowship, praise God, thank you for coming here and visiting however much the Spirit leads you. But if this is a place where you call your home, I really believe that Yahweh is going to be calling you into a different level of ministry and a different focus. I'm starting to get glimpses of what it is, and I'm starting to get glimpses of what it looks like for some of you. But when Yahweh lays it on your heart, when the Holy Spirit comes in and says, this is what I want it to be for you, life is going to change. Focus is going to change. And I want you all to be ready for that. I want you to be in prayer for that. Because this isn't just some goober guy up here who, you know, who some people call pastor, you know, throwing something out. I believe this is a moving of the Spirit in some way on this body. And I pray that you guys are open to the Spirit's leading on that. So you never know who you're really fighting for. You never really know what the battle is. And are we willing to change our focus and be open to the idea that we, whether we know it or not, might be entertaining angels? Because that's exactly what Abraham was doing. Three men came up. All of a sudden he realizes these are not three ordinary men. This is my God. This is my covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. And these are two of his, you know, his teammates. These are two of his angels. And then Yahweh took me over to Matthew 25. And there's two passages here, and I'm not going to get into the depth of them because there's a lot of what's going on. But basically, Yeshua is saying, you know, you need to, well, let's go ahead and get into this. Verses 37 through 40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. Then the next part, then they themselves will also answer, Lord, and this is the transition, this is the end of the parable. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me either. When we serve someone, it is not for that person's benefit. They reap a benefit from them, no doubt. But we are at a point where, and this is, I was praying this with my kids during the offering and with Andrea, is that the tithes were a responsibility. In a sense, it was obligatory. Now, Israel should always have a heart to tithe and, you know, if for no other reason, to walk out in obedience what God had set before him. But an offering is when you come up and you say, however else it is that you want to use me, I want to give that to you. I know that when I give, you know, my financial offering every month, that it is going to be, I mean, I can kind of count, you know, I can kind of have the ledger of knowing what it's going to go to. It's going to go to this, it's going to go to this, it's going to pay the electric bill. You know, someone, I don't know who it is leaving the fan on in this building all the time so that when Isaac comes in and cleans the building in the morning, the fan is still on. So just so you guys know, I'm accounting for part of my tithe being for running the fan extra because someone wants to keep it on all the time. If you're the one who does that, maybe you don't need to. Just a friendly thought. But I know where my tithe is going to go. I know that I'm going to help someone move. I know that I'm going to move those tables and chairs. I know I'm going to help come and build a stage. I know those things. But it's the offerings, it's the free will offerings that we're saying, you know what? I want to be obedient to the Spirit's leading. God, whatever it is that you want to do with this, go for it. And when I pray up there with my kids and with Andrea, I'm saying, God, however you want to use the offerings of our lives, the very best of what you've given us, show us what that looks like and may we be obedient to it. And I think that's where this body is that our service is not just a superficial, obligatory thing that we're supposed to do for other people or other ministries or whatever it is. But I think we need to change our thought to saying, Yahweh, I'm blessing you. I'm serving you. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know if I'll ever understand, but Yahweh, you've called me to serve you and I want to do it. And whatever he does with it is great. Praise God. Whatever he doesn't do, praise God. Have you ever served someone or given extra money into the tithe box and you thought, surely it's going to go for this. Surely it's going to be for the comfy chairs. Yes, that's what it's going to be for. Or have you ever found out later that, you know, it's really going for a new vacuum cleaner to clean up the mess that Samuel and Clara made back there? All of a sudden, that's not as glorious, that's not as important. I would rather give my money to the comfy chairs than the extra vacuum that the babies are making a mess for. Hello, parents, where are you? It's your job. Sorry, Clara makes her messes too, Tessa. But our offerings need to be given over to Yahweh. Our time and our service needs to be given over to him, for no other reason. And we need to be ready to do that as Yahweh sees fit. Not just on Shabbat, not just Thursday nights, not just Tuesday mornings, not just on the feast days. It's whenever Yahweh calls us to serve someone, whether it's at 3 in the morning, Fridays. Are we a body that's willing to do that? That is my challenge to you. That is my, and I know the answer. That's the cool thing. I know the answer. I'm not going to tell it to you because it has to be the Holy Spirit leading you in that. But I believe we are in, and feel free to use this word that I made up, unprecedented times. We're entering into a different season. This body is entering into a different season. Our world is in a different season. And this body, this room, if you count this your home, is going to be called to act and serve in unique ways, not just serve the immediate needs, but to serve Yahweh and his kingdom. If you guys wouldn't mind standing with me, please. Andrea has mentioned it before, and I'm going to echo it, is that over the years we have talked about it's time for this body to get on fire. It's time for us to learn certain things. It's time for us to get ready to go out and to be his light, to be his fire. As Andrea has said, I firmly believe this body is there. This is not a time anymore for us to work on getting on fire. This is not a time for this body to work on figuring out what God has called us to do. Yahweh's calling is on this body, and most of you in here who have been here for some degree of time, you are ready. You are ready to go out and to serve him, to not just give him water and wash his feet, but to tell someone to go make a bunch of bread, slaughter a calf, take all day, bring out the curds, bring out the milk, and do something different. Many people in here are still learning about what this whole crazy thing called Torah is. Praise God, that is your season. But it is also a season for us to be willing to get beyond ourselves and start getting into serving Yahweh. So I'm going to pray for you. If that is something that resonates with you, praise God, I'm going to just thank Yahweh for that. If that is something that you are struggling with, praise God, he's going to just start working on your heart and working on your spirit. So Father God, thank you so much for your Sabbath. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. Thank you for the weeks that we have had that brought us to this day with all the blessings and the struggles. Thank you that our lives are ordained by you to bring us to certain points of revelation, of need, of just crying out to you. And thank you that Shabbat is one of those times. And I just lift up the men and the women and the children in this body, Father, that you would help show each and every one of us, not just as a kahal, as a group, but also as individuals, how we can serve you. Not just serving the physical needs that we are encountered with so many times, but that our mind would be able to be transformed into serving you, recognizing that we come into your presence all the time, that your presence calls out to us, your presence speaks to us, your presence requests things of us, and Father, we want to speak into your kingdom and to bless you and to bless whatever it is that you are doing in our lives and in this ministry and in your kingdom overall. Give us the insight, the discernment, and Father, just the motivation to just step out and look beyond ourselves and what we can see, and instead focus on your kingdom and what you're doing. Abba, we love you so much. We thank you for taking care of us, for meeting us where we're at, but for calling us to be your priests, to be your ambassadors, to be your children, and to be your bride. We love you, and we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Live streamers, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everyone here. Let's go and enjoy a meal of fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.